Welcome to Nuanced Judaism, coming to you from OU Torah.
I'm Simi.
And I am Rivka. Okay, this last episode before Passover, we're going to discuss something very practical. The Seder night. So the Seder night is a very pivotal, transformative night, oftentimes described as the time when you convey the message, the main message of your faith, of your story, of your history, to the next generation. However, there is an interesting concept here that the people doing the Seder are supposed to feel like they themselves left Egypt. And that's a very nice thing to say, I guess. But my question to you, Simi, as leading the Seder, how do you help those involved feel like they left the Seder and they've left Egypt themselves? And is that even possible?
Okay, so let me repeat the question. How do you actually make sense of the concept as if you yourself had left?
Mm-hmm. And just in general, how do you lead the Seder to encourage that?
So I suppose I would suggest on two levels. The whole idea is if you left, once again, we're going to have to get fairly metaphorical here. No one left Mitzrayim in the 21st century. I mean, actually, my chavrusa just actually went to across the border. But in general, no one's left Mitzrayim recently. In which case, when we say as if you left Mitzrayim, we're going to have to abstract that. But I'll get back to that in a second. I suppose on a very basic level, dealing with children, and I suppose then we'll build it up, I literally sit down, often with the help of Playmobil and whatever other characters we might have lying around, and I try and immerse myself in a form of the hero's journey, and like the classical story narrative imprinted on the Exodus, and I try and develop it, I try and get into it. It's like a rendition of Lord of the Rings when I'm finished with it. I try and immerse myself so my children are excited to hear the new perspective that I add to the story of their parents, of their ancestors.
What do you mean you add a perspective? They know the story already.
Right, so I add characters, people watching, people in the story, and who sort of, I add,
like how they must have felt then and what courage it took to do that. And
I take the perspective of a random Israelite at times, seeing the scene of Moshe and seeing the scene of the dumb and the fear that was present when the taskmasters were taking advantage, and then what it must have meant when the blood and the water switched. What would that must have mean for the people on the ground, and how that meant that suddenly someone was standing up for them. And right, that feeling of being in the dumps, being low, and that experience of being low, but there was a rising up that took place. The idea of what we call Hashem stood up for us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so if I understand you correctly, the first thing that you'd say is really milk the narrative. Really milk the concept. The psychological concept is that we like stories. And when somebody tells a story, we know this from the Hasidic stories, etc.
I mean, we know this from the beginning of human history.
Yeah, people love stories. People learn from stories much more than textbook instructions.
Can I add a cool quote? I think it's from Elie Wiesel, who said, God created man because God loves stories.
Very cool. So us immersing ourselves in a story in the Seder is no coincidence, because that's going to drive us forward. That's what our kids are going to remember. And the thing is, what makes me a little thoughtful is that right now, if I asked you about your Judaism and your story, and your heritage, it's not a simplistic thing. It's not a simple, God's there and everybody should just open their eyes and there he is and la-di-da and everything's going to be fine if you just trust in God and the manna's just going to fall down. It's not like that. There's a ton of pain in the world, and people who believe and are devout their entire life, it seems like he's just not there. And other people who don't really do the good thing, it seems like they're getting all the luck. You know, the world is full of pain, and I think that an adult, a mature adult, to truly go in God's way has to struggle with that. You know, like Yaakov and the angel throughout the night. It's heavily symbolic, struggling with the angel of doubt throughout the night until the dawn comes. But we all have that struggle, and that's a good thing. We need to embrace that struggle because that's what we're here for. But on the other hand, when we're looking at our children and when we're talking to our children, we're giving it to them in a very prepackaged, cut and dry, this is what happened, look at the blood, look at the frogs, ha ha, they were bad, now they got punished. way, and in a way, it's not the whole truth.
So it's an interesting question, and I think I'm going to have to almost go back to what I said. I think I want to double down. Yes, there's complexity. Yes, life is full of doubt, and life is full of uncertainty, of mm-hmm. course, and your relationship with religion should evolve. It should, right. And by the way, at times it goes down, and at times it goes up, and that's the nature of emunah.
I was just talking to a dear friend of mine today, and we were discussing how our view of God should change because we change. And even though we believe that God comes from one source, the way we perceive him should be different between when we were a teenager and now, because we're different.
100%. But I would say that both as a child and as an adult, and of course as an adult, there's other areas that come into play. You want to tell the story.
On Pesach, you mean?
On Pesach. Pesach, I don't think, is the time for that sort of complexity and doubt. I think the point of Pesach is to immerse ourselves in the story as adults. You don't look at it as if it really happened. You're doubting whether it took place. Allow the story to talk to you on the level of a story. Those chasms of life, how that those are the points in life where true growth takes place. Those are the stories you're trying to imprint onto your child. He is going to become not only resilient because he's immersed in a heritage, but also because the stories that we tell him throughout the Torah, throughout the biblical narrative, is that when the Jews were struggling the most, that is when the best growth took place.
So you're saying two things. You're saying, first of all, Pesach is not necessarily the time to immerse ourselves in the nuanced, philosophical approaches of God and does he exist, does he not exist. Right now is the time to tell the story of our tradition and see where that takes
different
us.
Different types of telling for different ages, of course.
Right, but not the time to like sit your kid down and talk to him about the doubts. And the, either way, that's not healthy necessarily. A kid has to, you can't start telling
you tell the kid the story. You almost tell it like a myth. You tell it to them as a story that they can immerse themselves into. And then starting to talk about the historical that's not the time.
It's not the time. But the second thing you said was something completely different. You said there's also moral, the morals of the story, the ethical imperatives, the fact that when we came out of Egypt, we were on our lowest, and that built us. The fact that we stayed true to what we believed, even through dark times. Those things are timeless, and those things, and here I would say as well, are useful for children in their more
primal stage,
simple stage, and equally important for a complex thinking, deep, doubting adult.
That's why I mean by you just immerse. And when I say the word make believe, I think not that whether a person believes the story is historical or not, but even if you doubt that, immerse yourself in the story on the level of an adult. But the timeless patterns, the perennial patterns that follow us throughout history and humanity in the most universal sense.
And those are true, whether or not.
So a person who's complex, it follows through, I think, as well.
The patterns follow through, 100%. Correct. You know, if you want to give an analogy of that, there is a type of therapy called inner child work. And what you're basically doing is you're going back to, in your mind, going back to any stage of childhood that you may have needed something that you didn't get. And then you go back there and you try and give yourself that which you were lacking. And what you have to do this deep, meditative, often intensely emotional work, is you have to put all the analysis and the intellectualization of things to the side. Because at that moment, you're speaking your inner child's language. So you're saying things like, I love you and I'm always going to be with you. You're not explaining the situation. Let's say you went through trauma when you were 4 years old. You're going back in meditation, back to when you're 4 years old. You're not sitting there explaining the ins and outs of the trauma to the four-year-old. You're telling that four-year-old self that you love them and that you're there for them. So you're kind of going back to the story. You're going back to the simplicity. And then afterwards, things fall into place.
So let me say that. Let me see if I've got you there. You're saying that when you go back to fix something in the past, you go to that primal stage of universal patterns that are present in these type of stories.
Exactly.
You speak that sort of language. And just to build off what you said, that's our story. Not only does it have the power of it being the story of our ancestors, the story of our relationship with Hashem, the story of our covenant with God, it also has those powerful universal patterns that you're building your children up with. And this is just to really jump back. What does it mean that you left Mitzrayim?
Oh, yeah. We started with everybody should leave their own Egypt.
So those patterns, what we encourage people at that Seder, this is the adults coming through. When, and it says, it sounds super cheesy, your Yetzias Mitzrayim moment. But if we can take that cheesiness to one side.
Yeah, there's often a lot of good truth in the cheese.
When in your life did that pattern emerge? When in your life did that pattern of you were struggling, you were in doubt, it was dark, but what you found down there in that Mitzrayim, what did you find there that allowed you to emerge,
to become who you are today? So it's really actually similar to that therapy I was talking about, because that is your personal Mitzrayim that you're going back to.
It's like one big therapy night.
I know, right? You're basically, so just to combine that, those two things again, in Mitzrayim and leaving Mitzrayim, the universal story that we're tapping into is that we are God's children, that we are unconditionally loved, that we went through a crucible that has refined us to be who we are today, empathetic to other people in plight, resilient, loyal, and we have that today as a nation. And each one of us can tap into that time when we went through that crucible, and we have to remember that it wasn't a random crucible. It was one where the iron, the silversmith was right there watching to make sure that it's just the right temperature, and that we can become the shiny piece of silver that we are. And that pattern is completely there throughout our lives, and for children for sure, and for adults as well. But it's a simple message. It's not a complex, intellectualized message.
Excellent. Just to end off, that point that you mentioned, everything really ties it together. This universal idea you'll find in many different stories around the world, throughout history, before going back to the beginnings of time, you have these types of stories. But the uniqueness of this story is not only that it's our heritage, but it also has that silversmith watching, which means the struggle, the dragon that I'm facing in my life, it's not incidental. There's something akin to a personality that's watching, that's there with me. It's not random. The struggle is almost like an educational experience that gives a completely different twist to the story and how I reflect to it on my life.
The way Rabbi Sacks says when he quotes Viktor Frankl, who made an entire therapy based on this concept, is it changes life from one of happenstance to one of mission.
Beautiful. And I think that's a great way to end it.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Have a Chag Kasher V'Sameach. Happy Passover.